Christ. I'm Jonathan. If we've not met yet, I would love to connect with you out in the lobby. We have a couple announcements. This week, or tonight, there is no adult Bible school or Bible study, but that will continue next week when Jeremy's back. However, if you have a high schooler or a student or know a student that's going into 9th grade to 12th grade, we do have our 1027 students meeting in here tonight from 4 to 6. And our adult Wednesday night Bible study is continuing this Wednesday from 7 to 8. And if you have a child going from pre-K through 8th grade, we meet out in the backyard of the church. And so we have a little Devo time. We have a game. So, yeah, have a good time with that. As many of you may know, Lake James had to cancel all their camps this year. But what they're doing is they're coming to each church, whoever wants to participate. And so we're going to be participating in that on Thursday night from 6 to 8. So please come out. This is a family event, so you don't have to drop your kids off. You can come and join in on all the fun that we're going to have. So, yeah, Thursday night, 6 to 8. And yeah, let's pray and we'll get started with church. God, thank you for this day, and just please bless us and let your spirit move this morning. Please speak through Al as he delivers our message this morning. In your name, amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, we've got a lot of people traveling this morning, looks like, so we're going to have to sing loud.
You alone are my
good song for what we're living in right now. Love our country, but we have no patriotic songs recorded. So, lesson that learns to play the piano real fast. So I apologize for that.
Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is.
Sing praises to your name, Lord. We know the day is near, Lord, when you will come and take your own home. You will wear that crown. We will worship you, Lord, in a body that cannot sin. You will be turned into sinless, wonderful beings and live to praise you for eternity. It's hard to fathom that thought, Lord, with all we see around us. But we know that your words are true, and we see the revelation being played out before us, and we know that the time is near. I ask, Lord, that you keep us close, that you help give us the knowledge and the wisdom that we need to stay true to your word. It's hard, Lord, with all the temptations that are around us. Fill us with your love and your strength. Help us be fully committed to you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for all the people that are here this morning, Lord. We thank you that Al's here to to give us a message. We praise you and thank you so much for Al and what he's done for us. We know how much he loves you, Lord. Lord, we pray for those who are traveling this day, and that you keep them safe in their travels and bring us back to us safely, and be with Jeremy and Morgan and the family when they return from Roanoke. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for in this country, and we thank you for our freedoms, Lord. And we ask that you watch over our men and women that protect us in the armed forces, Lord, and that you be with the leaders of this country, that you fill them, their hearts with your words and your knowledge, Lord, that they put you first. We praise you and thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Before I start with my comments, I got to welcome somebody. Roger, welcome back. Good to have you. Yesterday was the 4th of July, and we didn't have any patriotic songs, and believe it or not, my comments are not patriotic. But I was up here mowing Friday evening, and it dawned on me, I've got comments. And I'm like, what would Deloitte do? So, okay. But one of the things before I started is, since we have two young ministers here, for me personally anyway, they've made it, they look at things different than I do. They see things in a different direction. And a couple weeks ago, Jonathan had comments, and he stated that he thought that, you know, supernaturally, you know, maybe the bread and the juice doesn't turn into the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, but the supernatural connection with Christ is there. And I was thinking, you know, what would Deloitte kind of think about this? And, you know, as much as we need this time with Christ, could it be possible that Christ wants this time with us? So as we partake of the communion today, make sure that you are in the right mindset with Christ as you take it. Let's have a short prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come this time to for your Lord's Supper, Lord, we ask that you would bless each and every one that partakes. Lord, we would ask that you would be with us, guide us, and direct us always. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning again. It's time for prayer and praise time. I have a couple. Does anybody else have any? Without the offering plate passed around, does anybody else have any prayer requests? I don't want to miss anybody. Okay. I have a praise, and I have a, you know, it's a praise in a way, but it's very sad. First one from Annette Towers is for Josie Riatzel Boyd. She got her test back and there's no cancer. So that's a praise. And it says she has some more tests for autoimmune, but there is no cancer. So we praise God for that. The other one is from Mike and Anita Keller. It's for John Forrester. Anybody that's been here a long time knows John. He's Mike and Anita's brother-in-law, former brother-in-law, but I don't think he ever quit being a brother-in-law. John died during the night last night from the cancer he had. They had just called in hospice, and just a few days ago, so he didn't suffer long. Of course, it's going to be a very difficult time for the family. John was very much loved and appreciated. He was a good man, which is sad, like I said, but the neat thing is he's with Jesus. So that's a praise. I'm going to try to pray. Lord, we thank you for you listening to our prayers, Lord, and answering our prayers. Lord, we know it's such a privilege to be able to, no matter where we are, what time it is, to commune and talk with the Most High God, and that you can listen to us and always listen to us. Always consider what we have to say. And always give us what is best. Lord, we praise you that there's no cancer, that Josie has no cancer. We praise you for this. And we praise you that John, our friend John, is now rejoicing in heaven with you. We know, Lord, that all his cares and all his troubles and all his heartaches are gone. And sad for us, but a good thing for John. Lord, we ask that you bless this service this morning and bless Al as he gives us our message. We praise you and love you. Amen.
I want us to sing one of my favorite songs for this time of year as we think of America. We lived in Canada for 12 years, and tears come to my eyes when I sing this song. Our son lived in Russia for 12 years. There's a difference, a big difference. My message today is God bless America. And I thought we might start, in case that you weren't able to have us sing, and we could do it a cappella, but, oh, I'm sorry, 572. We'll sing the first, second, and last verses. And she didn't know she was going to do this. Okay.
Yeah.
America. What a wonderful, crazy country. There's a book written several years ago by Tom Parker entitled One Day. One Day. He told us about what happens on the average day in America. Now, these figures may have changed a bit over the time, but this wasn't back in the 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s or the 80s. It was the late 90s. 108,000 people move to a different home. 18,000 move to another state. In the process, the National Center of Population moves 72 feet to the southwest every day. The U.S. government issues 50 more pages of regulations. 50 Americans turn 100. About 5,800 become 65. And 8,000 try to forget their 40th birthday. I don't have a good enough memory to remember my 40th birthday. Dogs bite 11,000 citizens, including 20 mail carriers. We eat 75 acres of pizza. 53 million hot dogs. Now, if you were watching the thing yesterday, it would be more than that for those folk. 167 million eggs. 3 million gallons of ice cream and 3,000 tons of candy. We also jog 17 million miles every day and burn 1.7 billion calories while we're at it. What a wonderful, crazy country America is. Maybe I feel the way I do about America is because of our living in another country. Scripture says in Psalm 33, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance." But there's some dangers to our country now. Some of these dangers have been here a long time. Some of them are pretty recent. The shadow of China's attempt to take over the world. If you've been reading the news at all, you know about that. The alcohol and drug problems that we have, the family breakdowns, the threats to marriage, the effects of COVID-19, sickness, isolation, unemployment, stock market crash. Add to this the sad results of the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. His family is very upset about how some people are handling that. Not the people that are protesting verbally, but those who are doing other kinds of things, trying to bring our nation to its knees. America's being taken over by violent mobs in many areas. A vast amount of destruction and stealing is taking place. A central part of Seattle, of course, was seized and occupied by people who hate America, evidently, and its values, including its Christian values. Of course, the mayor's now taken it back. The statues of the greatest Americans, including George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, have been attacked, toppled, defaced. People don't remember his true history. It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to get down on our country. And I feel that way sometimes myself, to be real honest. I have some very good friends who are black. I have some good friends who are, I won't say yellow, but, you know, they're oriental. I have good friends that, you know, maybe a mixture. I have real good friends from Mexico, Canada. When we lived in Canada, we didn't have any Canadian neighbors. We shared a wall with a family from South America. Two doors over was a family from Jamaica. Across the street were people from India and you name it. Toronto, where we lived, was the most diverse city in the world. Our son's best friend in grade school was from Greece. In the churches that we served, when we had a potluck, we'd say, bring something from your home country. I never could get used to Indian curry. And then we went to Russia five different times when our son was living there. We have some very good Russian friends. I mentor a guy in Russia over Skype every week, if we can get together. We can't always get together, of course, but because he's like 6 hours different from where we are. And there's a spiritual drift in America. There has been for quite a while, to tell you the truth. One trend that troubles me most is the drift away from our spiritual roots as a nation. The ACLU and others have sought to bring down America's spiritual foundations. Since the founding of this nation, the first 180 years of the founding, official recognition of the United States as a Christian nation was unquestioned. If you trace back in our family history, we're related to some Elliots. And John Elliot was the first missionary to the Indians in Massachusetts. And he translated the scriptures into an Indian language. How? I don't know. But the first Bible in America was for the Indians. And he helped communities of Indians. The foundation of our country is Christian. The founders made it clear. The author of the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson, he often cited as the founder who wanted strict separation of church and state. He suggested that the Great Seal of the United States should depict Moses leading his people into the Promised Land. As the main author of the Declaration of Independence, he made it clear that our rights come from God, not from other men, not from other governments, but from God. The political philosophy behind the framing of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution was intimately related to theological developments. A Christian world and a Christian life view furnished the basis for the early political thought in this country. The signer of the Declaration, one of them, Samuel Adams, as the Declaration was being signed, he said this: "We have this day restored the sovereign to whom all men ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven, and from the rising to the setting of the suns, let his kingdom come." James Madison was the author of the Constitution. He wrote this: "It's impossible to govern without God and the Ten Commandments." There was a 10-year effort by the Political Science Department of the University of Houston fairly recently to collect 15,000 pieces of writing by the founders to ascertain where they got their ideas. And 3,152 of those, they believed, had the greatest impact on America's founding. So out of those 3,152, the three men most quoted were Sir William Blackstone, who lived from 1723 to 1780, Baron Montesquieu, who lived from 1689 to 1755, and John Locke, who lived from 1632 to 1704. And those who looked at these were surprised to find out the Bible was quoted 16 times more than those three men. In fact, 34% of all the quotes by the founders were taken straight from Scripture. Another 60% of the founders' quotes were simply quotes of men who had quoted from the Bible. In total, the researchers discovered that 94% of the founders' quotes came either directly or indirectly from God's Word. This is a Christian nation. But you wouldn't know it today. You wouldn't know it in the schools. Certainly in the universities, very few of them. In 1892, the Supreme Court stated, "This is a religious people, this is a Christian nation." From 1776 to 1800, the Bible was the main textbook in public schools. That's what the kids studied. The Ten Commandments were engraved over the front of the Supreme Court chambers in Washington. If you would go into the Supreme Court, behind the judges, over the top, are the Ten Commandments. Even in modern times, the Christian base of the United States is still evident. The president and the members of the Supreme Court are sworn in on the Bible. Sessions of Congress are opened in prayer. By the way, I had the privilege of opening the Indiana House of Representatives in prayer back in April of 2011. And prior to that, I was given a letter. The letter was sent to me by someone down there saying they want it. Now, we want a non-sectarian prayer. I didn't obey. I finished my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And you could imagine, you probably couldn't imagine how many of those representatives come up to me and thank me. Prayers to be offered before heads of state, and so on. Civic officials, that's good. Every president from George Washington to Donald Trump has recognized the Creator in every inaugural address and accepted an appeal to people to pray and petition for a continuance of the protection of divine providence during their administrations. The president annually proclaims a national day of prayer, gives a Thanksgiving Day proclamation. 55% of Americans, according to USA Today, back, it's been 11, 12 years ago now, believe that America's founders wrote Christianity into the Constitution, establishing a Christian nation. Although the Constitution doesn't refer specifically to God, the Declaration of Independence does. However, all 50 states in their constitutions refer to God. The preamble of Indiana's constitution, I don't know what Ohio says, but it says this. To the end that justice be established, public order maintained, and liberty perpetuated, we, the people of the state of Indiana, grateful to Almighty God for the free exercise of the right to choose our own form of government, to ordain this Constitution. In these times, how should we respond as Christians? How should we respond to what's going on in our country? Well, the Bible understands love of country. In fact, in a sense, it talks about it in Romans, the 13th chapter. Verse 1 and following. Every person is to be subject to the governing authorities. There is no authority except from God, and those who exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. Later on, he says, it's necessary to be in subjection not only because of the wrath, but because of conscience sake. And because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. So render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom is due, and fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. We must submit to the government authorities. If the police pull you over, be calm. I ministered in Bryan, Ohio back in the 80s, and I was going to Toledo to see somebody in the hospital. I was cutting across country, and there was a car turning left, two-lane road, turning left, and there was a white line on the right of it and a wide spot, and I went around the right and hadn't gone very far, and I saw something in my rearview mirror. I pulled off to the side, and I got out my license and rolled the window down. And state trooper walked up, and he said, "Sir, do you know what you did wrong?" "Well, no, not really, because I wasn't speeding. I knew that." And he said, "Well, if there's a white line on that, you're not supposed to go around on the right." I said, "Oh." Well, he was in my Sunday school class, and Sunday morning, the next Sunday, he told everybody, he said, "Guess what? I arrested the preacher this week." The only time I've been arrested, by the way. But the Bible understands that we care about our country. In fact, prayers to be offered for heads of state and other civic officials. Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, "I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity." It's found in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. How often do you pray for the president, for the governor, for the people serving in legislatures, for people serving our country in other ways, in the military and police force and so on? We'd pray for them. Every Caesar, even Caesar, Jesus said, "Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God." That was respect, authority. That's one thing that I see missing in many areas. Christians, we need to be thankful we live in America. And some of the things that are happening in our country and some of the things that people want to do, if they only went to a country that did that, I think they'd change their mind. I could give you stories. Our country's a blessing from God. Power and authority are from God. Government's a blessing from God's hand, given to us for our good. We're to be subject to the higher powers, those who are in authority. And despite our country's shortcomings, our government is basically good. We live in relative security and peace, have rights and freedoms. Our country's been blessed of God. And our location is blessed because when America was begun, Europe was in constant warfare. And America was some distance away. God blessed us with many things. Sing about the beauty of America, the resources of America, the freedoms that we have, and so on. Freedom to preach the gospel of his love. It's not free in Russia. It's not free in Kyrgyzstan, where our son does some missionary work, where we have a lady there. It's not free in Belarus, where he was back in March. And Belarus is the last communist dictatorship in Eastern Europe. Now, Christians can worship, but if you have a facility, you have to be registered with the government. And if you're not registered, you can't use the building. There's one church in the capital, Minsk, that has four congregations meeting in the building because they can't get the government to register other places, even though a couple of those churches have spots where they have renovated an older place or something. So So we've been blessed. And we as Christians can serve our country and be a blessing to our country. Jesus said we're salt and light. And we can help deter the mold of evil that occurs in our country. We hear a lot about abortion. And sad to hear that there's, even though the black population is, what, 13% or something like that? There's many more black babies that are aborted than white ones. Many more. As salt, we can live our lives that will produce a holy thirst and a holy taste. As lights, we are to shine in places where there's very little light. And we can intercede for our nation with believing, prevailing prayer. We can spread the good news of salvation as we live our lives. And the gospel is the only message which will save lost people from their sin. And we can remember our Christian heritage and pass it on to our children. And there are times in the year like this time. That's a good time for that. What does it mean to have July 4th? There's Memorial Day. There's Flag Day. There's 9/11. Remembering what happened in New York, Pennsylvania. There's Thanksgiving. We can teach our children. We can remind them of the blessings and of the founding of our area. I mentioned the schools a bit ago, and our youngest daughter is a managing editor for a book publisher that publishes textbooks. And she was telling us just a week or two back how upset she is, really, when she gets a new thing to edit. And she can edit the language, and she can edit the grammar, right. I was thinking of something else, but Grandma answered the question. But she can't change basically what it's saying. And she just shakes her head at what our kids are getting. Now, if you're a parent of a younger child or a grandparent, you ought to check out what their textbook says. We honor those who currently serve our nation, serve our community, law enforcement, the armed services. We thank God for their sacrifices, and we pray that God will bless our nation. America's powerful, but not invincible. God can thwart our purposes with the flick of his finger. Revelation 16 says, "Look, I'll come as unexpectedly as a thief. Blessed are those who are watching for me, who keep their clothing ready, so they will not have to walk around naked and ashamed." What's our clothing? Christ. We put on Christ. We're to live our lives in him. When we turn our backs in the Lord, we can be humbled. Isaiah 2, verse 17 says, "The pride of man will be humbled, and the loftiness of man will be abased, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day." I'm concerned about the moral breakdown in our country. We're to love all people. That does not mean that we love necessarily what they do. But the word love that's used in the scripture, the word agape, is unconditional love. Back in the mid-70s, late 70s, probably 78, I met a couple, and they started coming to our church. And she had not always been a she. I didn't know that. I'd never heard the term transsexual back in that day. I found out after the baptism. And I went to the elders of the church and said, should we do? They gave wise advice. We cannot change the past. But they put a restriction that they would not be allowed to work with children. I think eventually they separated after I was around. But it's sad. I don't find that in the scripture. And the most patriotic thing that we can do as a country is to live a godly life. There's a prelude to a song that isn't in our hymn book. I'm going to sing it. If you know it, you can sing along with me. But the prelude to it is, while the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us be grateful for a land so far fair as we lift our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the ocean white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Because we live in this country, we have religious freedom and we have choices. If you're free to do your own thing, you're free to determine right and wrong for yourself. You're free to take chances when you die. Or you may also freely choose to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He paid for your sins on the cross. In Him you're viewed as guiltless when you're in Christ. And when you die, He promises He will grant you eternal life. We need to follow His word and His plan. In history of the world, few people have had greater freedom and opportunity than you and I. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this nation. We thank You for the founders. We thank You for those who have gone before us. We thank You for all those who paid the last full devotion and gave their lives that we might be a free land. We pray, Lord, You'll be with the leaders of our nation, with the leaders of our communities and our states, and You'll watch over those who serve, whether in the military or in some other way in our communities, to protect and to keep it a safe place. And we pray for our children, our grandchildren, that they will grow up honoring You. And this country will bow to You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Al. It's amazing how what we were lacking, that the good Lord took care of with Al. Yes, and his wife. That's talent when you can walk up there and just play it and play it nice like that. And no practice. Yeah, she's not even mad at you for making her do it. That's. We're coming to the time where we're going to sing a song of invitation. And if you don't know who Jesus is, and do the patriotic thing, like Al said, and give your life to the Lord. That's what our country is lacking. Our country is lacking Jesus. It's lacking. Our founding fathers said that our documents, our founding documents, are worthless in the hands of immoral people. And they are. If you don't know Christ, our founding documents don't mean a whole lot to you. But for those who do, our country is greater than life. The neat thing is that Jesus, he died for each and every one of us, and he definitely died for America. And if you need Jesus, just come forward this morning. And if you need to rededicate your life, or if you need anything at all, come forward and seek the power of the Lord this morning. We're going to stand and sing a song of invitation. Morning, and we love you and thank you that we could come here freely and sing your praises and hear your spoken word, Lord. Help plant these words in our heart, Lord, that we may not sin against you, Lord, that we can go out and tell a dying world about Jesus. Tell all the ransomed church of God, be saved to sin no more. What a thought. What a glorious thought. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you for everybody that's here this morning, and for Al and Patricia for coming to serve us in this way, and get them home safely, Lord. And we love you so much, Lord. You've blessed us beyond measure, and we again thank you for this church, and we thank you for your Son and what he did on that cross for us, Lord, that we can be saved to sin no more. We love you, Lord, and we thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Coming, everybody. God bless.